Welcome back. If you've been investing for a bit, you probably know the usual stuff, right? Stocks, maybe some mutual funds, bonds.
The standard toolkit.
Exactly. But then you start looking around thinking about, you know, growing wealth beyond that, maybe diversifying more seriously, and you bump into these, well, more complex things.
There's like futures contracts.
Yeah.
And often people just hit a wall there. It feels like it's just for the big institutional players, maybe too risky or too complicated.
That's the wall we want to tackle today. We're doing a deep dive into futures. They are an option for diversification, maybe higher returns, but yeah, you absolutely need to be careful.
Absolutely.
So our mission today is pretty straightforward. Pull out the really important stuff about futures, give you a clear picture, a practical understanding, and sort of a roadmap so you can approach them, if you choose to, with confidence, but also, crucially, with caution.
Okay, sounds good. Where should we kick things off? The basics.
Yeah, let's start right there. What exactly is a futures contract?
Okay, so at its core, it's a standardized financial contract. It's legally binding.
Meaning you have to follow through.
Right. It obligates the buyer to buy or the seller to sell some kind of asset. It could be gold, oil, wheat, even things like stock indexes or currencies.
Okay. And the key part is that this transaction happens at a specific price you agree on today.
But on a specific date in the future. That's the core mechanism. You lock in the price now, but the actual exchange, if it happens, is later.
And you mentioned standardized. Why is that important?
Standardization is crucial. It means they're traded on regulated exchanges, and things like the quantity of the asset, its quality, the delivery date, it's all the same for every contract of that type.
So like one contract for December gold is identical to any other December gold contract.
Exactly. That makes them interchangeable or fungible. And that allows them to be traded easily back and forth, which creates liquidity. Yeah. Lots of buyers and sellers.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, the part that always comes up, the bit that makes futures seem so powerful, but also, frankly, dangerous for newcomers.
Mm-hmm.
Leverage.
Oh, yeah. Leverage. That's the double-edged sword. The big one.
How does it actually work in futures? What's the trap?
Well, the track is the margin. You see, to control a futures contract that might represent, say, $100,000 worth of oil, you don't need $100,000.
Right. You only need a fraction up front.
Exactly. You only need to deposit a small percentage, maybe 5% or sometimes even less. That's the initial margin. So in that example, $5,000 lets you control $100,000 worth of the underlying asset.
Wow. So small price movements get magnified a lot.
Hugely magnified. If the price of that oil moves against you by just 2%, well, 2% of $100,000 is $2,000.
Which sounds manageable until you remember.
Until you remember you only put up $5,000. That $2,000 loss is actually 40% of your initial margin.
Yeah.
Wiped out just like that from a small market flicker.
Okay, that really drives home the risk. So yeah. Profits can be amplified, but losses can be devastatingly fast.
Precisely. You have to respect the leverage. Always.
And one other practical point. Settlement. If I buy an oil future, am I going to get a tanker truck showing up?
Uh-huh. No, thankfully not for most people. The vast majority of futures contracts, especially the ones individual investors trade, are cash settled. Meaning on the expiration date, no physical goods change hands. Instead, you just settle the difference between the price you agreed on in the contract and the actual market price on that day. It's all done in cash.
Okay, much simpler. So given this high leverage, high risk, why do investors even use futures? What's the point?
Well, there are really two main uses, kind of opposite sides of the coin, hedging and speculation.
Let's start with hedging. That sounds like risk management.
It is. And actually, this is why futures markets were originally created. Think about businesses that face price uncertainty, an airline, for instance.
Fuel costs, a huge variable for them.
Exactly. They can buy oil futures contracts today to lock in the price they'll pay for jet fuel maybe 6 months from now. If oil prices shoot up unexpectedly, they're protected. Because they already fixed their cost.
Okay, that makes sense. Or like a farmer.
Perfect example. A farmer growing wheat worries about prices falling before harvest. So they might sell wheat futures contracts now, guaranteeing a certain price for their crop when it's ready.
So if the market price collapses by harvest time?
They're covered. They get the price they locked in earlier. It helps businesses manage risk and plan better. That's hedging.
Got it. Risk reduction. But you said there's another side?
Speculation. And let's be honest, this drives a huge amount of the daily trading volume in futures.
So this isn't about managing business risk. It's about betting on price direction.
Essentially, yes. Speculators use futures to profit from predicting future price movements. If you think gold prices are going to rise, you buy a gold futures contract, hoping to sell it later at a higher price.
Or sell if you think the price will fall.
Correct. But remember that leverage works both ways. Speculation is where the potential for big, fast profits comes in, but also where the risk of those amplified losses is highest.
And is there a role for diversification here, too, beyond just hedging or pure speculation?
Definitely. Futures give you exposure to asset classes that might behave very differently from your stocks and bonds. Things like commodities, currencies, foreign stock indexes.
So things that don't necessarily move in sync with, say, the S&P 500.
Right. Adding assets with low correlation can help smooth out the bumps in your overall portfolio returns over time. It spreads the risk.
Okay, so mechanism understood, reasons clear, risks acknowledged. If someone listening is thinking, all right, maybe I want to explore this carefully, what's the safe way to start? We talked about a roadmap.
Yeah, we broke it down into 5 manageable steps. Think of this as your beginner's guide to dipping a toe in safely.
Step one,
non-negotiable. Educate yourself. Seriously, you need to learn the terminology, understand margin inside and out, know how leverage really works, contract specifics, expiration dates.
Where do you do that? Books, websites.
All of the above. But critically, most good brokers offer educational resources, tutorials, guides, webinars, and the absolute best tool, demo accounts. Paper trading.
Practice without real money.
Exactly. Use the demo account until you're comfortable with the platform and understand the mechanics before risking any actual capital.
Okay. Essential first step. What's step two?
Step two, choose a platform. Find a reputable, regulated broker, and importantly, one that's beginner-friendly. Look at their educational tools, customer support, the fees, and make sure they offer the specific futures markets you're interested in, maybe index futures or specific commodities.
Don't just go for the cheapest commission. Look at the whole package.
Right. Step three is open and fund an account. You'll do the usual registration, KYC, all that. But here's the crucial advice. Start small. Really small.
All small.
Only deposit an amount of money you are genuinely psychologically prepared to lose entirely. Think of it as tuition money while you learn. Limit your initial exposure drastically.
Good point. Protect yourself while learning. Step four.
Step four. Start trading, but again, slowly. Maybe even continue paper trading for a bit. When you do use real money, look for small contracts. Many markets offer mini or even micro versions of the standard futures contracts.
Like E-mini S&P 500 futures.
Exactly. They require less margin, and your exposure per point move is much smaller. It lets you get real market experience with less risk. And focus on just one or two markets at first. Don't try to trade everything.
Keep it simple initially. And the final step, number five.
Step five, monitor and adjust. Futures trading isn't set it and forget it. You have to watch your positions closely. Review your strategy. And the absolute key part of this step is risk management, specifically using stop losses.
Explain stop losses quickly.
A stop loss is an order you place with your broker to automatically close your position if the price moves against you by a certain amount that you define. It's your safety net.
So it prevents a small loss from turning into a catastrophic one due to leverage.
Precisely. It helps take the emotion out and limits the damage if you're wrong. You must use stop losses when trading futures, especially as a beginner.
That roadmap seems sensible, focusing heavily on risk control. But let's dig a bit more into those risks. Even with stops, what are the core dangers?
Well, the first is just the inherent high volatility. Futures markets can move very, very quickly. Prices can gap up or down dramatically, especially around news events.
And with leverage.
Those quick moves mean potentially huge swings in your account balance almost instantly. Big gains are possible, but big losses are, frankly, more common for newcomers.
And that ties into the scariest phrase in futures trading. The margin call. You mentioned margin earlier, but what happens if a volatile move wipes out your initial margin?
Yeah, the margin call, it's stressful. If the market moves sharply against your position, the money in your account, your margin, might fall below the minimum level the broker requires to keep the position open. That's called the maintenance margin.
And then the broker call.
They issue a margin call demanding you deposit more funds immediately, like right now, to bring your account back up to the required level.
And if you can't. Or don't want to.
If you can't meet the margin call, the broker has the right and, honestly, the obligation to forcibly liquidate your position at the current market price. They just close you out.
Locking in your loss, which could be more than you initially deposited.
Absolutely. It can wipe out your entire account and sometimes even leave you owing money. Plus, the panic of a margin call can lead to really bad, impulsive decisions.
Okay, that's a serious risk. What else?
Market and liquidity risks. While major contracts like the S&P 500 futures are extremely liquid, meaning tons of buyers and sellers, some other contracts, maybe for less common commodities, might not trade very much.
Low volume. Why is that a problem?
Low liquidity means it can be hard to get in or out of a position when you want to, or at the price you want. You might have to accept a much worse price than you expected just to close your trade. It's called slippage.
So sticking to heavily traded contracts is probably wise for beginners.
Definitely wise. Reduces that particular risk significantly.
And then there are the sort of internal challenges, right? Emotional control, complexity.
Huge factors. The speed and leverage can trigger emotional responses. Fear, greed, panic, leading to overtrading, chasing losses, deviating from your plan. And yes, futures contracts are complex. You need to understand the exact specifications, the contract months, the settlement procedures. Mistakes there can be costly too.
So, summarizing risk mitigation. Use stop losses religiously. Start small or paper trade. Focus on liquid markets. Keep learning and manage your emotions.
That's the core playbook for survival, yes.
Now, thinking about portfolio construction, you mentioned assets like oil futures can be very volatile. Great for short-term traders, maybe, but potentially destabilizing for a long-term investor.
Exactly. If you're trying to build wealth steadily, having too much exposure to something that can swing wildly day to day isn't ideal. It introduces a lot of instability.
So how do you balance that? If you do want to use futures for their potential benefits, how do you keep the overall ship steady?
You need a counterweight. You need assets in your portfolio that provide stability. Things that aren't likely to be whipsawed by the same short-term factors affecting futures markets.
Like what? Bonds.
Bonds can help, but sometimes even they correlate more than you'd like. Increasingly, people look towards alternatives that have a lower correlation to traditional financial markets. Things like real estate-backed investments.
Ah, interesting. Why real estate?
Well, think about physical real estate or investments tied directly to it. Its value tends to move much more slowly. It's less sensitive to the daily news cycle, the quarterly earnings reports, the kind of things that make stock indexes or oil prices jump around.
So it acts as an anchor?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
It provides a foundation of stability. If your futures positions take a hit 1 week, a solid allocation to less volatile asset-backed investments like real estate can cushion the blow to your overall portfolio value.
And are there accessible ways to do that? I mean, buying property is a big commitment.
Oh, absolutely. You don't need to buy a whole building. Platforms exist now, like Gamma Assets was mentioned in our sources, that allow you to invest in real estate projects or portfolios, often starting with quite small amounts, like 500 SAR in their example.
So you can get that stabilizing exposure without needing huge capital.
Exactly. It makes building that balanced portfolio much more achievable for the average investor. You combine the growth potential, albeit risky, from something like futures, with the underlying stability of real estate.
That makes a lot of sense. Protect the core while exploring the edges.
That's the strategy, essentially. Protect your base.
Okay, let's wrap up with a few quick-fire questions that often come up. First, are futures really truly suitable for a complete beginner? What's the bottom line?
The bottom line is, only if that beginner is incredibly disciplined, commits fully to education first, starts tiny, uses demo accounts extensively, and religiously applies risk management like stop losses. Otherwise, honestly, probably not. The risk is just too high.
Okay, fair warning. Next question, futures versus options. People often confuse them. What's the key difference?
Big difference. A futures contract is an obligation. You must buy or sell if you hold the contract at expiration. An options contract gives you the right, but not the obligation, to buy or sell.
So options offer more flexibility, maybe less risk.
Generally, yes. With an option, your maximum loss is typically limited to the premium you paid for it. You can just walk away. With futures, because of the obligation and leverage, losses can theoretically be unlimited, or at least exceed your initial margin. Options are complex in their own way, but the mandatory nature of futures is a key risk differentiator.
Got it. Obligation versus right. And a final important point for many listeners, Sharia compliance. Are traditional futures okay from that perspective?
Generally, no. Because of the elements of leverage, potential interest involved with margin accounts, and the often speculative nature, Garrar and Macer, most scholars consider standard futures contracts to be non-Sharia compliant.
So what are the alternatives for Islamic investors?
They would typically look for compliant alternatives, often asset-backed investments where ownership is clearer and the speculative elements are minimized. things like certain types of Islamic bonds, sukuk, or direct investment in Sharia-compliant businesses, or indeed real estate platforms structured to be compliant, like the Gamma Assets example again, can be suitable.
Okay, important clarification. So let's try and summarize this deep dive. Futures. Powerful tools, no doubt. Good for hedging real-world business risk, good for speculators chasing profit.
But carrying that significant amplified risk because of leverage, it's always there.
So the key for anyone thinking about this is caution. Choose a good broker, really understand margin and leverage, and stick to that five-step plan like glue, especially the education and starting small parts.
And the risk management. Stop losses are not optional. You have to manage the downside actively. Secure stability before you reach for those potentially higher but riskier returns.
Right. So we learned the futures market was originally created to help producers, farmers, airlines, miners reduce their uncertainty about future prices, to manage real-world economic risk.
That was the origin, yes.
Yeah.
Locking in costs, locking in revenues.
Yet today, as you mentioned, the vast majority of trading volume isn't from those hedgers, it's from speculators betting on price moves. So here's a final thought to leave you with. How does that fundamental shift in the market's character from primarily managing risk to primarily chasing profit? How does that impact the actual prices and the stability of the essential things, the commodities, the currencies that we all depend on every day?
That's a deep question about market structure and its real-world consequences. Definitely something to chew on.
Something to think about. Okay, that's all for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.